Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
right, Dons and Divas. Welcome back to GQ Palace. And with me right now, I have Tanya Graham. Tanya, welcome to the show. Tanya?
Hi, Rich. Good evening, GQ
How
family.
How are you doing?
I'm good and yourself.
Okay. So how's your day going?
So far, so good. Many blessings and a lot of happiness going on.
Okay, before we get started, right?
Yeah.
You'd like to tell our listeners a little something about yourself?
Well, I am a striving single mother raising an 18-year-old. I work for a Westchester newspaper, and I live in the Bronx.
Okay. 18 years, yeah.
Yes.
At least you don't got that far to go right now.
Thank you.
Two more years and it's a wrap. Two more years and it's a wrap.
Yes, for the most part.
Okay, so what is your topic for this evening?
Rich, tonight I would like to talk to the GQ family about the advantages of what we give to our children and a lack of what we forget to give to our children.
Mm. Okay,
and can I go a little deeper with that?
Yes, because that's what I was going to say. Yeah, go a little deeper.
Let me tell you what I mean. I've come to feel like, as a parent myself now, that I tend to give my son things that I felt like I didn't have as a child or things that I felt I was missing as a child. And in doing so, I have left out the things that I had to go through to get those things. There's never a need to work for what he has. There is no, I'm not building his character because everything is a given. There's no earn to it. It's just a given. And I've come to look at children, now I'm looking at my girlfriend's children's and my coworker's children, and it's an automatic. They automatically feel they're entitled to have things without going through the struggles and the tribulations of feeling like they've earned it. So I want to know from the GQ family, as we give our children, are we actually taking character from them by doing so?
That's a real good question. That's a real good question. I guess I don't need to ask you what made you choose that specific topic, do I?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, reflection, you know, because my son, vacations and cruises and clothes, and I'm like, you know, as a kid, I can't remember but one vacation. It was always grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vacation. And mine is going on cruises
exactly.
And this and that, and I'm like, well, what are
wow.
we doing to earn this?
You a real good mom.
Yeah, that's what I said. I like, well, you know,
I
have myself
you.
On the back. Like, you go, girl. But then
I
I'm missing something because tired of giving, what am I getting out of this? What is he giving back, you know, as far as school and chores and, you know, responsibilities? What am I lacking here?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Tanya Graham to give your feedback on her topic or just stay on the line to hear the show. Now, I understand exactly what you're saying, Tanya,
mm-hmm.
because we do have the tendency, I'm going to say spoiling, because
yeah.
that is what we're doing. We're spoiling
mm-hmm.
them,
mm-hmm.
which is not good
right.
because if you think back when we was younger, our parents was more on a strict basis, do what you got to do, and you'll get it.
Right.
And that's what made our generation more like stricter than the generation that is now. Because the generation that's going on now, it's like we get them so much that they're not really taking heed to the, how can I say it, to the metaphors that we're trying to explain to them to get them, like, further to where they're going. So that's where they come in with the smoking and the chilling with the friends. And,
my point exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't blame everything on the parents. You know,
mm-hmm.
Society do play this part in that also.
That it does. Mm-hmm. That it does.
See, but you talking about cruises, I'm like, wow.
I mean, you know, I did not, as a child, like I said, I did not have these things. And, like, as I grew up, you know, I always had this mindset in my mind that, you know, whatever it was I felt like I didn't have or I didn't do as a child, if I ever had a child, then I'd make sure my child did this. And, I mean, I work real hard to make sure that he has the best of everything. And when I was doing it, I was looking at it as I'm making sure he has the best of everything. But when I look back on it, when I talk to him, you know, and he says things like, I said, well, you know, for Christmas, I said, what do you want for Christmas, sweetie? You know what he told me, Rich? The boy told me I want $600.
Oh,
I said,
wow.
I said, well,
$600.
I said, $600. Well, let me think that through. I said, I tell you what. I said, for every 80 you can bring me, I'll give you $100. For every 80 you bring me.
He went rich.
I was calling his bluff because I knew I was going to be okay. You know, so I called his bluff to see just how far he would take it. And he brought me back two. So I said, now the incentive was that you'd get $100 for every one. Now, had you told me at that age that you give me $100 for every 80, you would have thought 85 plus, even in after school.
Uh-huh.
You know,
exactly.
You got back too because you're assuming that because it's Christmas, that mommy's going to bypass that.
Mm.
She's just gonna give it to me. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I said, it goes back to what I've taken from him. Now don't get me wrong, he's a good kid. He's not in the streets and he's not into trouble, he's not these things, but he still doesn't have that character that we had growing up where we knew we had to work for something. We knew in order to get this, we had to do this. And this is where our youth is going wrong right now.
Exactly.
This is
exactly
where our youth is going wrong.
That's
and
why I
looking
say that's why it's the spoilers.
Right. I don't understand where his parents were and how did this happen and how did this happen. It's a lack of what we don't give them that leads them to doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
definitely
a lack
agree
of what
with
we
that.
Don't give. Mm-hmm.
But you also got to explain to the point, it's society in this way also.
This is true. The propaganda, the build-up.
Society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Society plays its part in it because you got the ones out there right now with the pants sagging, even though the parents be like, pull the pants up.
Mm-hmm.
They're still mm-hmm. going out with the mm-hmm. pants sagging and everything.
Yeah.
So this plays its part in every situation. You understand? And that's what's bad about it. But how much more can we do? Like, what can we do in that situation? You understand?
I think more of us parents, you know, and another thing I've come to see, is, especially amongst my girlfriends, is a lot of parents nowadays are so caught up in being the friend that we overstep the parent to be the friend. You want to be so intertwined with just making sure that you have this friendly connection with your child that you forget that you have to have a parent and set these ground rules. Because at the end of the day, the friends are cool and the outside is great and that's all well and fine. But when you come and you rest your head in your home and your sanctuary, there has to be that respect and that understanding. You need to know, like we did. And I mean, you know, we got away with the slick stuff too, rolled up the skirts before we went to school. But when you hit that block and you know you had to come home and there was somebody to answer to, you pulled that skirt back down. You snatched that makeup off.
Exactly.
You know, there are no consequences for what they do because the character is not instilled in them. There's no consequences mm-hmm. for what they're doing, and that's bad. And I think as parents, we have to take back control of our children. We have to take back control. We have to get more aggressive. We have
mm-hmm.
to be more stern. We have to set ground rules and stand by them. We have to really break down the door because literally at the rate it's going, society is eating our children alive.
Yeah, they are. We actually have a caller on the line.
Oh.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the topic. Tanya, would you repeat your topic and let the caller get their point of view on it, please?
My question was, do we as parents give so much to our children that we neglect to give them the things that we had to build our own characters?
Okay, I think some parents do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Me, myself, I'm a parent, and I was a young mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say for my daughter, my oldest daughter growing up,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't her friend to her.
Right.
Like, she was my friend because I was a young teenager growing up.
Right.
But I always kept the understanding of this is my child, and I want to give her what I didn't get as I was
right.
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did was, yes, I can say that I spoiled her, but I spoiled her to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where we have to draw the line as parents, is we do have to spoil them, but not give them too much leeway, you know.
Right.
To me, you know, meaning when we give our kids, granted, give our kids, you know, an incentive, you know.
Right.
Make them work for what they deserve.
That's
not
right.
just because they're your child and I'm going to give it to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, you know, at young, they have to be able to say, okay, well, you know what, my mom taught me this. And this is what's going to make them stronger. And I can honestly say that, you know, my daughter's on her second year in college, no babies.
Amen.
You know, she's doing great. So I can
That's
say that she cool. broke the cycle of, you know, being a young mother.
Right.
And at the same time, of, you know, me being a young mother and her exceeding that limit, you know,
mm-hmm.
because when she reached the age that I was, when I gave birth to her, I was like, praise the Lord, you know.
Right.
And making sure that she understood that, you know, your body's a temple. You know,
That's
you have
right.
to value that. And once you give that up, you don't have nothing left.
That's
you know,
right.
you only have you, and you can't give yourself to everybody, you know,
That's
because they're not going to value, they're not going to value your temple.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that, yes, I spoiled her, but to an extent. And I can say a lot of parents nowadays, you know, young, and I don't want to say old, but I'll say more mature.
Right.
You know, they tend to be their friend. You know,
mm-hmm.
they tend to be their friend, and they lose sight on discipline them and setting goals for them and, you know, just showing them that, listen, if you do this, this is what you get at the end of the day.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a monetary value. It's just a reward to show them, you know what, okay, you did this. This is what we're going to do. But
mm-hmm.
it's not, like I said, it's not always about buying them something. It's about just showing them, you know what, even if we go, you know, to a bookstore and we pick out an educational book, we're educating them and they're thinking it's a reward, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they're younger. But instead for us, it's a matter of this is what I'm showing you, education first. Without
That's
your
right.
education, you're nothing in this world.
That's right.
You know, so I can say that I definitely instilled that on her.
That's definitely good. That is a beautiful blessing right there. Beautiful
See, that's
blessing.
What a lot of kids, a lot of parents do try to be their kids' friends.
They do.
And another thing, and especially on Christmas time, but what kids fella realize on Christmas time, you have some people that's actually by themselves. You understand?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they aren't with nobody. But me personally, I just want to let everybody know that feels like they listening and everything, that if they feel like they by themselves, they is never by themselves because GQ Palace is always here with them. You understand?
That's right.
You understand?
That's
so
right.
they need to know that. They always here with them, so you're never by yourself.
Right.
But the topic of, you know, the mother, the parents being their friends, that's another bad situation right there.
It is, and it's actually dangerous.
Yes, it is. It's
mm-hmm.
very dangerous because that's when the kids start getting smart.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They
mm-hmm.
get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have there's a lack of communication with them and
mm-hmm.
everything. See, I know because in certain situations in my family, you know, I've seen it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then the parent, you know, in my family, they have to get to that level where they don't want to get at to put them back in control.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you lose that control,
exactly.
once you lose that control, you can't turn back now because you have to lead by example.
Exactly.
And if you're not leading by example, then what example are you setting? You know,
mm-hmm.
they're seeing what you do and they're picking it up and they're following it, knowing
mm-hmm.
that, okay, you're an adult. Yes, you can do what you want to, but when you have children, whether it be, you know, a boy or a girl, male or female, you have to make sure you set by example. And a
yeah.
lot of parents nowadays, they don't set by example. They do whatever they want to do, and then they do it in front of their kids. Their kid sees it. Their kid picks it up. And then when their kids start doing it, then they start questioning, why is this happening? Why is
right.
this my child? You know,
and
what did I do to deserve this?
they've surrendered their control. Once you've decided to become the friend, your friend doesn't control you. Your friend is just your friend. Y'all are on the same plane. So once you've surrendered that because you're their friend, there is no reason for you to gain control. There is no control. The boundaries have been set. We are now friends. We are equal. So you can't you can't get it back. You've already let it go. It's almost like signing over your parental rights.
Mm-hmm. And
it's
that's
like
what
signing
they
over
realize.
Your parental rights. Mm-hmm.
And
my grandmother
like
used to say all the time, she was like, you know, the purpose of people, you know, people are quick to tell you they're grown. She was like, but in order to be grown, you have to grow and own. You know, she used to tell my mother and that all the time. You have to be grown and own. You know, when you own something, when you take responsibility for something, that's when you're grown. When you're grown.
And that's what they fail to realize because they don't know what responsibility is.
None.
Me personally, reminds you to always say you got it good because when you become an adult, you're gonna see how hard it is.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what they fail to realize. So they don't really understand the struggle and how much we actually go through with them to get them what they want.
And that's why I said that we kind of take from them because I remember my mother working two jobs and I remember the lights going out. And I remember dinners being cold TV dinners and stuff. We went through it. And I tell my son these. Thank you. I tell my son this. And my son is like he's the remote control. Ma, I've lost the remote control. Use your fingers, honey. Touch the TV? Yes, touch the TV, baby. Touch the TV. You know, it was time. We didn't have lights. Oh, we'd never go without lights. Right, because you don't have to go through this.
Exactly.
They don't know.
It was so much that we went through that they really don't. And you
right.
know, I think after the show, I'm going to really sit down with moms and let them know exactly, you know, what we had to go through.
Yes.
Because they don't realize how good they actually have it to appreciate no matter what it is that you get, just appreciate that you have it.
Everything. Every single blessing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because we went through a whole lot.
You can also mention like sugar sandwiches. And mayonnaise
and thank
sandwiches.
You. Thank you. There you go.
I remember those from back
syrup
in the day. Syrup
yep,
sugar
balls
and sugar.
Fried bologna.
That's right. And nothing was better than the government cheese trying to make a grilled
thank
cheese.
Thank you.
Oh, you
want to
go.
Oh, wait, y'all,
oh,
left
wow.
out the, y'all left out the y'all left out the gourmet, the Spam.
Oh, the Spam. Oh, don't forget the Spam. They don't understand what we had to go through and how much we had to go to get to where we got now.
And how we make it so that they never have to see it. But just because you don't see it don't mean you shouldn't recognize it and know that it can happen. It can happen. It could get into it. You can get to that point in your life where it can happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's the bad part about it. And they really fail to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And they really need to take heed to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the bad because Christmas is like, what, 2 days away?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes,
pockets
it is.
Is flat.
Isn't it, though? You know what?
And they want
$600
and they want these
yeah, thank
gold
you.
Jewelry
thank you.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want the jewelry and the Jordans for $350.
I wanted you to be on the line for the Jordans this morning, for the $200 Jordans this morning. Right. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, give me those right there. You know, get the black and red ones.
Mm-hmm.
I like the black and red ones.
Exactly.
Give me the black
exactly.
and red
ones. Mm-hmm. Can I get two pants? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Like, yo, come on now.
But see, I think sorry, Rich, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Here's what you're saying.
I was going to say that even though we have our children and we make sure that they don't go through what we've went through,
mm-hmm.
but if we don't discipline them and lead by example,
mm-hmm.
then when it's their turn to have children,
mm-hmm.
they're going to go through the sugar sandwiches and the mayonnaise sandwiches
mm-hmm.
because we didn't set an example for
exactly.
them. And, you know, just make sure we explain to them the, you know, the value of the dollar, you
that's
know.
Right.
Like, you might have a dollar, but it can get you X, Y, and Z. But if you have 50 mm-hmm. cents, you're going to get 50 cents less than what that dollar can give you.
You know what? Listen, let me tell you family what I did this summer. because it, you know, my revelation of what all I was doing and how much my son didn't recognize it, this summer I had him working. I had him work for Summer Youth. And I explained to him, from now on, for the rest of this summer, you are going to be introduced to the real world. He said, well, what does the real world mean? I said, the real world means you are taking care of yourself. All of your needs are going to be covered by your check. I need you to know what it's like to work 40 hours and govern from check to check. He said, okay, not a problem. He says, okay. I said, your rent will be $75 per paycheck. Everything else, you sort out in your own way. I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You're going to do it in your own way. Just understand that you must provide your car fare, your laundry, your maintenance, your hygiene, your eating, everything is on you.
Day one,
he calls the house. Mommy, did you cook dinner? I said, by no means. I'm not hungry. I said, are you hungry? He says, well, it's been a long day. I said, well, you know what? I could cook you up a really nice meal, but that is called takeout. When you're in the real world and you're not cooking for yourself, it's called takeout, and I will have to charge you. So I cooked him up a dinner, and I wrote him a tab because payday wasn't for 2 weeks. And I wrote tab for everything he did. I made him pay for his lunch. Girl, by the time he finished paying me back through his check, he had exactly car fare and $15 for lunch. And I kept that going all summer. You want to go to the beach today? He said, yeah, that's going to require gas. You got to go half on the gas. You got to bring your own groceries. You got to buy your own suntan, everything. Family reunion. He was like, well, Mommy, I thought you paid for my half. Oh, no, you're working, but you paid your reunion. I paid your reunion when I was responsible for you. You're responsible for you this summer. By the end of this summer, my son sat down and told me, well, Mommy, even when I get older and I move, I'm able to move out, can we just live together? Because it's cheaper with your help than without. Okay? Can you tell me revelation?
That's right.
Can
he learned.
Can you tell me a revelation? Because it was okay when it was on my pockets. When the reality actually set in and he saw it, my son was like, he'll rent out his room. He will rent his room from me just so he don't have to do it on his own.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How old is he again?
He just turned 18 this year. Just turned 18. I think I got a roommate for life right now. Just so he can go half on the rent.
He ain't going nowhere, Mommy dearest. He ain't going nowhere. He's staying with Bobby forever.
He realized
so
that.
Well, that's the way a lot of guys is. They're real close to their mothers anyway. You know, females is real close to their fathers.
Guys.
But nowadays, it's just, you don't know who's close to who sometimes.
This is true.
Kids are just, I'm serious. These kids be out of control. They be out of control sometimes.
This
I just be
true.
Like, oh, man. And you just, I sit back and I think and I look. Like, you know, I'll be outside, look at some of the kids in the street. The other day, I was looking at this guy. He had his two sons in the store. And I'm going in there to get gas. And one son, he jumped down on the floor. And the father's like, get up. And he's like, he's about 6 years old. Father trying to pick him up. The other little brother fell on the floor. He dragging him in the street. I'm like, listen here, man.
No,
you know,
good.
There's more to it than that. That would have been me back in the day. I think I would have got my teeth slapped out my
Thank
mouth
you.
And everything else.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
He's just sitting up there. He's like, you know, trying to drag him. Got one on the other leg, and they just walking. And you could tell he's mad. He embarrassed, but.
Yeah. And the
know,
same control he had in the street is the same control he has at home.
Exactly. And that's what's bad. Because a lot of it do take place in the home, in the household
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and some parents is in denial about it.
Yes.
They are very in denial about it, and that's what's yes. bad also. Instead of them admitting, well, you know, I admit, I heard one person, you know, I could truly say one person that admit that they're not that hard on their child in the household. That's why they
right.
don't want them there. You understand? Mm-hmm. But a lot of other parents, oh, no, I do what I got to do, such and such, this and that. No, you don't. If the child
no.
can be the way they are.
Exactly.
You understand? The child would not be the way they are, and that's what's bad about the whole situation.
Mhm. Yep. And that's a scary thing all its own. If you as a parent can't acknowledge where your child is going wrong so that you can help them or put them on the right track. As a parent, if you can't do it, there's nothing that's going to help them out in society.
There's nothing
that's going to help them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line.
All right.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, hi. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. You heard the topic, Michelle?
No, I'm just actually tuning in, and I just caught a little bit of it, so I really need to know.
Okay, Tony, would you mind stating the topic?
Well, Michelle, tonight
so Michelle
we are discussing. We are discussing the things that we do for our children as far as what we give them. Nowadays, as opposed to what we're taking from them, as we were just discussing how we go out of our way to make sure our children have so much and we give them so much to make them happy. And, of course, because we want to as parents. But in the meantime, we give them nothing to work forward to. So are we actually taking from their character?
Okay, I'm feeling you on that topic because I have a problem here that goes as well in my house.
Oh.
A lot of times my kids see kids with other things that, you know, they want, like the Wii games and stuff like that.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, as far as your school is concerned, I feel like if you earn it, I'm not giving it to you.
That's right.
You know, and that's that. Because when I was coming up, they didn't have stuff like that, and we didn't get things like that.
That's right.
We had to really earn it. We had to earn it. And you know, back then it was nothing like it is now. Like kids
right.
were getting nothing, a thing for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
no reason. So I don't award you. If you're not doing good in school and you're not acting right, then I'm not getting it. I'm not spending my money, period.
That's right.
To me, that's materialistic things. I feel like my money could go on better things.
Mm-hmm.
That's materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a child shouldn't have activities and fun in the house, but that takes away a lot of the schooling, too. There's a
right.
lot of these computer games and a lot of these games that these Wii games and these and all that take a lot from these kids today because that's all they think about.
Right.
They concentrate more on that than they do on their schooling, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's just materialistic. It's better things that we could get for our children besides material things like that, to me.
I think even if you still give them, they still going to go out and see something else. You know, it also depends on the crowd that they're with.
Right.
You
understand? Right.
It also depends on that because the crowd that they're with, you know, that forces them to do certain things. And, you know, you got some kids that's like, all right, they want to be down and such like that. But, you know, you got to realize that.
My daughter had a sidekick when it first came out because her father bought her. And she got it, took it three times. Three different times my daughter had a phone like that. And each time somebody stole it from her. You know, so that's like, where's our money going? You know, it's like you got to be responsible to have stuff like that.
That's right.
You know, you're irresponsible, then you don't deserve that.
No, you don't.
You don't deserve that. She's crying right now for a phone, and I refuse to get her phone.
And I would stick to my guns. Do not buy it.
Right.
Michelle, you sound like you're going to give in a little later.
It's daddy we got to worry about. I think daddy might buy it.
Her father's the one that she got to worry about.
Yes.
But me, I'm not getting it. But I do get tired of her getting on my phone. So I really can't wait till she gets one. For real. I was reading in the paper today about how some 13-year-old boy got his 11th ticket. A piece of $200 pizza.
Yes, yes.
And he got killed for him.
Mm-hmm.
He got killed.
You see?
And you gotta be careful.
I didn't hear about that. I was running around so much, I didn't hear about that.
I heard people talking about it.
Well, yeah, he got killed. A 13-year-old boy got killed for the 11.
But
we got to worry about what happens to them when they go on the street. You know,
Lord. Right? Because it's a recession.
Thing.
It's a recession. It's Christmas time, and guess what? Everybody wants what the next person has. And you know
and
that
the
parents are not. It's sad, you know, and it's unfortunate,
that is,
but
a lot of people, I mean, going back in different newsletters that was out, you know, somebody had got killed for an iPod, you
right.
know. Now, mind you, they're attacking kids. Now, mind you, what happens, too, though, is it's sad, but, you know, we allow the kids to bring certain things to school, or we might not know
right.
that they're bringing it to school,
mm-hmm.
and they bring it to school.
Right.
As soon as they bring it out that one time, somebody
mm-hmm.
sees it, and they want
and
it.
It's gone.
And
yeah.
they jump them after school. They take whatever it is that they want, and then guess what? Your money that you worked hard for and you bought this for your child, the next kid has it. And if your child is the type of child where he's going to fight back or she's going to fight back or she's going to tell you, oh, well, so-and-so did it, guess what? If they tell you that, then, yes, you can get it back. But at that point, they were violated already.
And this child
yep.
was actually killed for these sneakers that just came out today. So it wasn't even 24 hours.
See?
Exactly.
24 hours and
the
child lost his life on a pair of shoes.
It will be a track phone. It'll be like a Boost flip phone. It won't be no. It won't. It'll be something where I can keep in contact. Well, I'm so scared. It's scary. It's really scary.
Boost Mobile do have some nice phones though. They got a BlackBerry
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, but you'll get the one. I got the BlackBerry, but she will get the flip Boost.
What's the one with
no
contract?
Nice. All right,
Michelle, you taking a back. A flip phone BlackBerry?
That's right.
That's
she
going
in a
way
flip phone. And she got to press that button three or four times before she gets on that.
All right, Michelle. You
I
got
to get off of Chanya's topic to the Boost Mobile phone.
She's going to be mad. She ain't going to want to
y'all got
on
to the Boost Mobile phones. How y'all get on to the Boost Mobile phones?
But listen,
that's
that would help.
If I got to get her phone.
You know
no,
what?
She better go to her father.
I think that would help. If you give her the phone that isn't so attractive to her, or
yes.
it's not the fancy one,
and
it might actually last longer.
Guarantee you she will take better care of that phone.
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's not going to bring it out in front of her friends.
Right. right. See, there was a strategy to the madness. Yes. I can agree with that. Oh, yes.
That's true. If you got a fast smash
the
phone, you ain't going
to
bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the latest, she don't got her phone took in three times. I'm not doing it no more.
No, I wouldn't either. And that's scary, too, to know that someone is actually targeting her. That's scary, too.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't even go to that store.
Yeah,
that's
scary.
A quick story for you. A quick story for the GQ family.
Mm-hmm.
I had purchased my niece a little Sidekick that they had. You know, back in the day, they had T-Mobile had the Sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was prepaid and everything. And I told her, don't bring the phone to school. Keep it at home. Keep it at home. This
mm-hmm.
one particular day, she decides she wants to bring the phone to school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She pulled. Now, you know, in classrooms, they got the clock in front of the classroom.
Right.
She decides she wants to pull her phone out and look at the time. After she looked at the time on her phone, she put her phone back in her pocketbook that was sitting on her desk.
Mm-hmm.
She got up, went to the teacher's desk, and sure enough, one of the classmates took the phone.
Just that
mm-hmm. quick. Just that fast. She got up, walked to the desk. Now, if it wasn't for my daughter's friends that was in her class,
mm-hmm.
told me who did it. Now, mind you, it was the hardest phone to get back without acting ignorant, okay?
I can imagine.
Without acting ignorant, because, you know, me, I'm going to the person's house, knock, 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 you know.
Right.
I was told I wasn't there. I was told that so-and-so, you know, took the phone.
Mm-hmm.
The mother swore up and down that her son did not take my niece's phone. But when she searched his room, he had four different phones, and
ooh,
neither,
uh-huh.
one of them, neither one of them was the one that she bought for him.
Jesus.
Neither one. And out the four, none of them was my niece's phone. We didn't get that phone back until 2 days later, and that was when my daughter and, you know, growing up, you know, she's her mother's child. She had, you know, the mouth and kept going after the boy, talking about, give me the phone, give me the phone. I know you got it, this, that, and the other. One of his friends gave my daughter the phone. Now, okay, so now we got the phone back. Everything's good, right? No,
right.
The phone was smashed. He done took the phone and dropped it, broke the screen and everything. Now, you know it's prepaid and there's no insurance.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
phone,
that's
phone
right.
was destroyed.
Wow.
Wow. And it wasn't even like he was targeting her. He had four other phones at home, but
right.
he saw hers and he wanted hers. So it was a warning.
And had a phone of his own, so it's not like he wanted it because he needed a phone. He
right.
The mother's saying that's not the phone she bought him, so he had a phone.
Right.
He had his phone and four other ones.
Right.
Wow.
So it goes to show you, and I mean, not taking it off the topic at hand, but just saying it goes to show you that if somebody wants something and they want it bad enough, they'll sit
they
and they'll watch.
It.
And they're
right.
going to
get it.
Mm-hmm. They're going to
yeah.
get it, especially from the kids nowadays. You know, they're going to get it. I mean, back in the day when I was growing up, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not giving up mine.
Right.
Because I know that I'm going to have a hard time when I go home. Because if I wasn't
right.
supposed
Thank
to bring
you.
It to school,
Thank
I know
you.
I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not giving up mine that easy. But nowadays, that's not the smart thing to do because they carry around weapons and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
right.
therefore, you put up a fight, you might get stabbed or something over something that costs
right.
$200.
This is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just, you know, just.
Yeah, and that was something that was instilled in us. You better not come home without this, and you better not come
that's
home without
right.
that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we made sure.
Come home. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was, but it was safer for us to do it.
Right.
It was
right.
safer for us to do it than it is now.
Right.
Wow.
You got 12 years old running around with a gun.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and that's the bad thing about it.
Yes, very much
and
so.
Some parents act like they don't know, but they do know.
Yeah.
They just at the point where they some parents are scared of their own kids.
I agree. I can honestly
and that's
believe
that.
Point.
Mm-hmm. But, Tonya, what is your final thought on this topic?
I think that in order to gain, I mean, when I look at it and I look at what this generation, because the truth be known, this upcoming generation is our future. And when I look, you know, when I look at what I have to look forward to, I am so scared. I am so scared. I'm scared of the lack of character that our children are holding. I'm scared of the lack of responsibility. The drive, the determination. I just hope that in some small way that us parents will recognize that we want more for them than we had for ourselves, enough to give them everything that we had within us, you know, the things that made us the women and the men that we are today, because our generation is a strong generation. And as strong as we are, we should have been able to instill that in our children as opposed to giving them all the better things or all the financial and glittery things, instilling them the things that they need to become productive people in our futures. That's what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. All right. I definitely agree with you on that, Tonya. I definitely agree. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give out?
I want to give a shout-out to the world.
Oh.
I want to say happy holidays
okay.
to everybody, friends, families. Everybody, I want everybody to have a joyous, safe, happy, happy holidays and a very happy, happy birthday to our Savior.
And you too, Tonya. And I really thank you for taking the time out to join us.
It was a pleasure, Rich.
All right. We're going to see you on the wall, right?
You sure are. You
right.
have a blessed evening.
Hey, okay, but I just want to leave you. Make sure you put the right name now.
I got
right?
you. I got you. You know, I only got one cup of coffee. I got to get two before I'm functional.
All right, Tonya. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. All right, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, Steve Barboza. Here, his smashing hit single, So Fine. He's tearing up the R&B music scene. All right. Here, his story coming up. Find out his next move in the music industry. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace. Stay right there. Don't move. Love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. The fire started blazing bright, and we're caroling through the night. And
To the GQ Palace, and with me right now, I have C. Barboza. Welcome to the show. Chris, what's going on? Are you there? I want to make sure, you know, I'm on the air. I want to make sure I'm saying their name correctly.
Yeah, you got it right. So C. Barboza.
All right. I won't be saying the name wrong. And then later on, they'd be like, oh, my executive producer, I'm telling you, was saying his name wrong, you know. But, Chris, I really want to thank you for joining us tonight. You know, I appreciate you taking the time out to join us.
Yeah, no doubt, definitely.
Let me ask you something, a little something about yourself before we even get started, right? Now, how long have you been actually doing your music?
I mean, as far as doing music, it's probably been about maybe like 16 years, but doing it seriously, I've been doing it for like about 7-8 years.
About 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a track record, you know, on doing your songs and everything.
Yeah, like the writing and everything. Just over time, you develop, you find out who you really are musically.
So your songs are mainly your songs based on, you know, your lifestyle.
It's based on how I interpret things, like certain situations and stuff like that. I mean, it varies.
Oh, okay. Now, you write your own material, right?
Yeah, man. I also write
material
written by me and my team.
Oh, so you write for your whole team, too?
Yeah, me and my team, all of us write. There's three of us all together, but we all write for each other and other people as well.
Okay, so explain that to us. All right, so it's three of y'all.
Yeah, the three of us.
All right, so explain that to me. Explain your group to me. Let the listeners know a little something about your group, you know, and everything about it.
All right, so basically, I mean, it's called Fine Print Music. That's what we decided to, you know, call our team. Now, we used to be in a group together. There was four of us, and then, you know, after the group, we ended up decided to go our own separate ways as artists. But we just still stay together, and, you know, because our writing together is hot. We always doing that since we was in the group. So we still stay together, and we started writing and, you know, getting beats from different producers here and there. And the more songs we wrote, and then we hear the producers, like, listen to it. They like it, and they send us more beats, and just kept writing, and that led to another. And basically, that's how I got started.
Okay. So mainly, like, you also like a ghostwriter, right?
Yeah.
He's also a ghostwriter. Is there anybody in the industry that you wrote for so far? Because I know if you didn't, you're working on it, right?
Yeah, I'm working. I'm always trying to work to write for somebody big, especially to shop, you know, one of my songs. I had something working with Bad Boy that started him from that. A couple indie artists and stuff like that, and they got some local artists out here that I also write for, but and just trying to really push it out there.
Okay, if you had the chance to, like, let's say, write for an artist in the music industry, who would you say that you would have, you know, it would be an honor for you to write for?
I think I would like to write for, I think, Chris Brown. I think I'd like to write for Drake, Neo. I think I like to write for Usher, Justin Bieber. Maybe Beyonce, Kelly Rowland. I like not to stay in one particular type of style, so I think I can pretty much, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because everybody's name, they all their styles is totally different, you know? They format, they foundation on how they start the song, they formats on how they do it, you know, so it's always different. Matter of fact, you also open up for some of the biggest names in the industry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little about that, if you don't mind. Who have you opened up for lately?
I think my biggest one as a solo artist was I opened up for Akon in Cape Verde. Now it's a series of islands off the west coast of Africa, and I think that's probably one of the best ones I did so far. Like, that was a great experience just to, you know, see that whole vibe of how Akon performs and being backstage. Mm-hmm. That was big. There was, like, I think 19,000 people there. My biggest show by far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did it feel to actually be on the stage with all eyes on you, knowing that, all right, the adrenaline is pumping and you're looking into the crowd? Did you have the dark shades on? You know, how was that adrenaline pumping when you got up there?
It was crazy. It was kind of surreal. I mean, I had the shades on, but I eventually took them off. I threw my shades and my chain into the crowd, and they was, like, going crazy over it. But, I mean, that feeling is, it's like one of the greatest feelings you can ever feel. Like, just to see people up there, you know, they like your music, they're vibing with you, got their hands up. That's definitely a good feeling, man.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now with that vibe, so you was like, did Akon even come out with you at that time when you did it, or was it like, all right, just the solo act? I'm gonna do what I gotta do. At the finish, I'm gonna go backstage, wipe the sweat off, and relax for a minute.
it was basically I opened up for him, and then I got to meet him, you know, said what's up to him, stuff like that. But he's a busy dude. But he went on, then he did his thing, but it was cool. And then after that, we was all at the same club, this club called Cockpit. And we just chilling, actually performed over there too. And I don't know, just the whole experience was just crazy. It was out this world. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, you know what? I want to get into your track, Hear That Sound. What was on your mind when you was doing that single? How did you come up with that concept of that song?
Well, like, I ain't gonna lie, I was it was me and my boy, Mike Cole, and we were just chilling, we was drinking Moscato, and it was nice, we put on the beat, and we just started freestyling, and then we just came up with the melody of Hear That Sound, and a sex topic, like, what sound do you hear when you hear sex, and that's basically how that whole thing came about, and that's how we wrote it.
Well, yeah, the Moscato, yeah, that Moscato make you do some things, or... Well, I want to get into that track right now, right?
All right, cool, man.
All right, Dons and Divas. Phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Chris or stay on the line and hear the show. Here we go. Hear that sound. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I know you want more.
Must have definitely had it definitely had y'all going that night.
Yes,
for
sir,
real.
Man.
Yo, because that track, that's definitely some love making.
It's a very good.
You know, yes, definitely, yo. I'm about to tell wife, and she better get ready. We about to have two tonight. We going to throw that one on. Let me ask, you got like a rich, smooth voice, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever like just went out and did something a cappella and the crowd was just like, all right, you know, because
yeah,
your voice,
yeah,
you got like a rich, smooth voice.
Yeah, I did, but I mean, I get love when I do a cappella, you know, better than when I have the beat playing in the background. But
now, did you always like decide, because you used to live in Boston, Massachusetts, right? And
well,
I was born there, but I actually
live 15 miles south of Boston. I live in Brockton.
Brockton, Rocky Marciano.
Yes, sir.
At that time, was you actually thinking? Did you think that you would get as far in the music at the time? Was music actually on your mind at that time?
Honestly, when I was younger, I never thought I would at least be where I am now. Like, I always had a passion for music, but I wasn't, you know, always confident as far as to really pursue it. Like, I was in the back of my head, I always thought, like, oh, would they like me, or what do they think, how I sing? And I always, when I was younger, I always, like, thought that, so I never really pursued it. And I don't know, as I got older, I just basically said, you know, why not? Like, let's see what happens.
Mm. Now, the funny thing is, the phone lines, we got a lot of listeners listening. So I'm going to say the number again, because I do want them to call in and give you their feedback on the track and everything, because we have a lot of listeners listening in. The number to call again is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Chris or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, Chris, your name. Let's get into that.
All right, cool.
How did you come up with that name?
Well, I basically came with Steve Barbosa because Barbosa is my last name, and my first name is Chris. I just dropped the rest is kept Steve Barbosa. And I like the ring of it. It's like Steve Barbosa.
Yeah,
like you see
it's
me,
unique,
but it's
definitely different.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, especially what you said, Chris?
I came up with that.
Yeah, because that name is definitely unique. You understand? It's a unique name. Is it a meaning behind it, or is it just a government name that's boom? Or did you decide to, like, all right, I'm going to put a meaning behind this name to let everybody know exactly what Chris Barbosa is about?
No, there's no really meaning. Though that might mean my main point of it was just, see, it's not my government. I mean, Chris is my middle name, so. And then I just feel like C. Barbosa, it can also be like, see, like you see me, like see everything I'm about, like my voice, my personality, everything. And then that's just me as musically. So I felt like C. Barbosa would be, you know, has a good ring to it.
Mm. Now, let me ask you about the group you was in. Did you ever think about reuniting with the group or anything like that? Did you ever talk about that?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we thought about it. We was going to do it. We decided to do three of us. Then we didn't do three of us. Then the fourth person actually moved to New York. So they live in New York now. But we all still close and stuff like that. I mean, I want to say no, but right now, I guess I'm really trying to focus as far as the solo acts and just grow as much as I can grow.
That's being solo artist.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so that's the good thing about being selfish, but right now you got to mainly look on yourself and doing for yourself and getting yourself out there, and then maybe later on down the line, you know, I guess you could affiliate with the group and do it like that.
Yeah, I mean, like as far as it's at least establish something, you know, great. You know, even if I was back to the group, have something established.
Mm. Now, I know you opened up for Akon. Is there any other big names that you opened up for?
Yeah, I opened up for Olivia, opened up for Kim Davis, Rupi, Jagged Edge. I'm trying to think of who else. There's a couple others. It just can't come to my head right now.
And, like, did you feel like each show that you did for each opening was, like, a different style you had to use? Or did you feel like, all right, I could use at least two styles to open up for this one and that one? I mean, one style to open up for this artist and that artist. Or did you just change up the whole format when you was doing it?
Yeah, man, it's always the different styles, especially with different artists, because the crowd's always kind of different, like the genre of music. So that's why every time I go, I always have, like, a backup like track. Like, if I want to do something else, I'm going to play this one. I think it'll be a better vibe if I rock with them.
Now, your productions, do you do your own production, or do you have, like, certain producers that you choose to use to do your productions? Because we're going to get into so far, but that's my joint right there.
You're talking about as far as the beats go?
Yes.
The track, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, man.
Yeah, as far as the music is.
I mean, I have a whole bunch of producers as far as beats goes that I'm work with. As far as the lyrics and, you know, the harmony and the structure of the song, it's all us.
Because, you know, did the same producer, okay, because So Fine, that
mm-hmm.
track, that's my joint, but that's the first track I heard. That right there is a killer.
That was my first single.
That right there is a killer. Do you plan on doing any videos for any of your tracks? Or do you have videos out right now for them?
I actually got a video for So Fun.
Okay. Now, where did you...
Yeah, man.
Got it.
All right, yeah, they can check that out on YouTube, man. Just got to type C. Barboza, So Fun, and the video will be right up on there.
Okay, now So Far, now when you did that track, explain us a little about it.
When I did So Fine, it was same thing. Me and my boy Markel, we heard the beat, you know what I'm saying? We listened to the beat, like, what vibe did we get from it? And then we just came up with a concept because, you know, me and him, we always used to club a lot. And every time you go to the club, every man, I'm pretty sure, went through this. You know, y'all see that girl, like, that fine girl just chilling over there, and you just want to know, like, damn, like, who's she, like? And that's basically how the whole concept came about for So Fine. And I felt like a lot of people can relate to that.
Mm. So Markel is mainly like your right hand. That's, you know, y'all do things together.
Yeah, Markel is another guy that we write a lot with too, is RJ. So it's just those two guys that, you know, we pretty much do everything musically.
Oh, all right. Because what I want to do right now, I want to get into that track. Because I think we're going to play, like, one more of your tracks.
Because
I do have a caller, but I want to get into that track first, and then we're going to bring the callers on, all right?
All right, cool, man.
All right. Okay, Dogs and Divas, this is C. Barboza, smashing hit, So Fine. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Hey, yo, baby. Yeah. Fine print music. I think I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm my melody. Hey, yo.
I seen a shorty last night by the bar. Like it's alright. I seen it from afar. Oh, yeah.
I'm
by the back, don't give you, oh yeah, take you to, oh, some, yeah. Now we can do it how you want it, baby. As long as you don't fake it, you can take it. Let me hear you say it.
I think can make a couple babies too.
Oh, dog, word, definitely.
Oh, damn.
I think that can make a couple babies too. Just, you know, just, I don't want to say stroking the female's, you know, ego a little bit, but I could think that definitely will be, that will win the ladies over, that one.
Hey, that was, well, that's my goal, so I definitely appreciate that. And what's your name?
Say it again. Hello?
I said, what's your name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia. All right. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yes. You're welcome. Keep doing what you're doing, and please let, you know, GQ know where we can get that one from, because that, like I said, I hope my husband does, you know, at least try and sing that song tonight. He's not going to sound the same, but.
Tell me, drink some Moscato and he can get it done.
That Moscato is the thing, huh?
I'll tell them. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
hello.
We have Sheba Rose on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, well, I must say both of your songs are banging, but as Cynthia was saying, she's so fine. It's awesome. And if I could and if you would, what's your age?
My age, I'm 26.
Okay. Are you single or?
What the? Got nothing that you're going on.
I got a proposal. Can I ask you? Hey, I'm on the air. I'm supposed to be able to ask these questions if you want to answer them.
Yeah, I'm not single right now.
Well, I got a daughter for you.
Chris, you got a dating line going on.
And if you go on my page, you'll see it. She's a beautiful girl. She's a good girl, too.
All right, definitely. Tell her I said hello.
I'm not going to disclose who I am, but I will send you a friend request.
Okay.
And then you'll see who it is.
Yeah, definitely.
But definitely keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Reaching for the top. Have you ever thought about being in a play or anything, like with Tyler Perry or somebody?
Actually, I thought about it, but I never really pursued it. I actually have an older brother. His name is Delano Barboza, and he's actually he does plays in New York, actually. And
okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to audition for one of those things soon. But I definitely would want to. I mean, if I ever had the opportunity to, I would.
And, I mean, you know, you do have a unique voice, you know. And, I mean, you know, your music is just smooth. And, you know, that baby making music, I'm out of that stage. But be careful, sweetie. Be careful when you're out there singing to them little young sweeties, you know. They getting all aroused and everything. Just keep you cool and keep God first.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
Well, Chris, you got
it.
Okay, she's trying to hook you up with a date. Wow. Okay. I don't know what to say. She got me a little rabbled for a minute right there with that one. But if you had the chance to perform with any R&B artist, a group that's out right now, who would that be?
That's out right now.
That's out right now. Or even back then.
Back then. I like I like Day 26 a lot. I like the whole group thing just because that's where I came from. I like Day 26. I grew up a lot on Jagged Edge, especially, you know, 112, Boyz II Men, Phil, Jodeci, like all those groups. Like, that's what I basically grew up on. But if I was to perform with somebody right now, I would definitely love to perform with Drake.
I like his style,
like his rapping, and you know he incorporates the singing into it too. I just like his style, especially his lyrics.
Yeah, Drake is definitely different out of a lot of people. His style is, and his format is totally different. He's a unique artist. He's in a class by himself, really, if you really think about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Just from his format and the way he flow. You understand? Now, you was also on tour for a while at one point, wasn't you?
On tour as far as?
With a group. You was on the 4-year run.
We did like a little New England tour as far as like performing stuff like that. That was a couple years back. And we just did like college shows and like little club shows and stuff in different cities and stuff. That was actually a good experience as well.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. You had that good experience, so you never thought about actually, all right, let's get together. You did a 4-year run. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did your little tour and everything going on. I mean, just to like, all right, you know, let me just do this one time. You understand? you know, that, like to get them back into it. You never thought about that?
I did. It's just everybody has to be on the same page. And right as of right now, I don't believe everybody's on the same page. So the chemistry has to be and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would love to because, you know, when we did break, like, that hurt me. I wish, like, we never did break up. But I guess everything happens for a reason. But, I mean, if the opportunity did present itself, I definitely would give it a chance.
Okay. Now, who would you say are some of your big influences?
I mean, my biggest influence, like I said, was those groups, man, Boyz II Men, Jagged Edge, 112, Michael. I think growing up as a kid, around 7th grade, Usher, You Remind Me. And that's when Usher was probably one of my favorite artists.
Now, the next track that we're going to play soon, I Want It All. You're featuring somebody on that track, am I right? Is that the track you're featuring?
Yeah. My boy RJ, he's the one that was in the group with me. He's also a solo artist as well. And I Want It All is basically a track where, like, basically everybody, you know, wants it all, you know, all that materialistic stuff. You want the money, the car, the clothes, the fame. And that's basically it. And actually, I rap in this one too. I've been singing, so does him. So we gave it, like, a different kind of vibe. And this is one of my favorite tracks, you know, off my my first album, which was Grown. So this was definitely a banger.
Oh. So did y'all collaborate on that track together, or was it something that you just figured out?
Same way we wrote it. This time we had a ball of Henny, though. We had a ball of Hennessy, then we just...
Oh, the Henny. Oh, all right. I have a caller on the line for you.
All right, cool.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, man, I was listening to y'all. She's so fun. I'm going to have to make me a few babies off that one tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I already got my Moscato, Henny, and everything else I need. All I just got to do is have her right here with me.
All right, word. That's what I'm glad I can, you know, increase the population.
There you go. But keep pushing to the top, man. All
right, cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Dude's ready to make babies. So Fine is definitely a banger. I'm saying all your tracks is killing it, but that's So Fine. It's something about it where you like, if you didn't know a female, you like, right, just because of this song, I'm going to make her my wife tonight. She going to be, you know what I mean? Because the format, the foundation, you know, the whole aspect of the track. It's ridiculous.
Everything, the lyrics, the delivery. It's definitely a good track.
It definitely is. You know what I mean? Now, I Want It All.
Mm-hmm.
That track right there. All right. Mm-hmm. When y'all was collaborating on it, did y'all go by, all right, I'm gonna do the singing first and then do the lyrics, the hip hop lyrics,
the way he and my team write, we just basically get in the studio, we put the mic on, put the headphones on, and we, you know, we sip, we do what we gotta do, and we just let the beat rock. We play record, and whatever just comes to our head, we just start going. If we like it, we'll delete it, and we'll keep going. And whoever goes first, it doesn't matter who goes first. It's just as long as we hear something that rings and we like it, so we like the melody, we'll keep it. We'll go back and then we'll write the lyrics to it. Then we'll move on to the next section. And that's how me and my like team write. And this I Want It All track, I think we wrote this in about 15 minutes.
Oh, what? Yeah, so y'all all just sit down and y'all all collaborate right there.
Yeah, right in the studio. We just have a good time. We vibe, man. We laugh. We chill. Make jokes, write music, and that's basically it. I mean, it's a good environment. I mean, the chemistry of the team is great, man.
Well, see, that's good. You got a strong team behind you. Now, how long would it actually take you to write, in general, one track, one single? Like, so far, for instance, how long did it take you to write that?
So Fine took 4 days. I got 4 days to write the whole thing, and then we went in the studio, and then I recorded it. So it takes a day, usually a day to record it, a good, like, 13-14 hours, then you got to get it mixed and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you know, the master copy and everything. Mm-hmm. So you had to do the ad-libs and everything. I think sometimes that might become a little frustrating, unless you think about how much you really love it.
You kept hearing, you know, if you're there for the studio for so long and you keep hearing, like, the same beat in your ear for 14 hours, kind of. So sometimes it's good to go back the next day so you can have fresh ears.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to be, because, you know, you got the earphones on, and then you got the producer. But I know some producers, they like to tell you how to sing what you wrote.
Oh, yes, yes. I never had that yet happen to me. So far, I did everything how I really wanted to do it. But I'm open to anything. Especially if it sounds good, then I'll rock with it.
Now, are you more interested in an independent or a major label? It don't really matter as long as something comes.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, nowadays, I mean, major labels don't really need, because you can really create your own buzz just from you with all this online internet stuff and, you know, going out and doing shows. But if I had an opportunity, if a major label came, I don't know. I guess I have to be in that situation. I got to talk to a few important people and probably make a decision. But even independent, I probably would do independent. It just matters what offers on the table.
Okay. Now let me ask you something else, because I do want to get into I Want It All. But have you ever experienced stage fright and like opening up with so many artists and seeing so many crowds? Like, let's say your first opening, did you ever experience like the stage fright where you was like nervous? I know a lot of artists has experienced that.
When I first started, yeah, man, like all the time. It took me a while to get used to it. It was just like, it's like, damn, like, I don't know if I was like stage fright or if I was excited to get out there. I mean, I knew I was nervous, but in my head, I just tell myself I'm nervous because I'm excited to go out there. I try to like justify it. But you just go out there, Rami, go out there, and then you just start singing, and eventually all that goes away until you're done. But now it's pretty much cool. I mean, I can go out there and, you know what I'm saying, do my thing, and because I know who I am as far as on stage. I know, like, what I want to do. And but right now it's cool. But back then, man, yeah, it was scary, so.
Well, since you got everything locked down now. So yeah. that wasn't the black shades, close the eyes, and looking at the crowd.
Yeah, you gotta get a black shade. A lot. I take off the shades a lot now.
Because
I feel like when I have the shades on, I feel like I'm not connecting with the crowd sometimes. So sometimes I just take it off.
Okay, if you had to compare yourself to somebody in the music industry, who would it be?
I honestly don't know. I don't know who I could compare myself. I like to think that I'm kind of different. I mean, I heard people tell me, like, oh, you sound like Jamie Foxx, or you sound like, I think, nah, just Jamie Foxx is the only one I really heard. And I heard Jay Holiday before.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I heard. But on me personally, I can't think of anybody that I'm kind of like.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, so mainly, exactly. See, that's what I was going to ask you. So you mainly consider yourself in a class by yourself.
Yeah, I like to think that. I want to be me, and I just want to be unique. So, I mean, personally, I don't think that. Maybe other people think so, but me, I just think I'm just me. I don't really just compare myself to anybody.
All right, that's a normal question that I usually ask, you know, artists once in a while, because if you have to compare yourself to somebody else, then it means you're not original.
Yeah,
and I asked a couple of artists,
Yeah, that's 100% right. You have to be different. Different works. Everybody wants something different.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, I was just asking you that question because, honestly, I didn't hear, you know, nobody that I would actually compare you with. I figured you in the class by yourself, you understand? Because you have a unique voice in the sound, you understand? It's like a smooth, rich voice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's why I figured, you know, you're in a class by yourself. I wouldn't compare you to nobody. You know?
That's good. Definitely where I want to be.
But you and I want it all. You said you also flowing.
Yeah. All right. The reason why I decided to flow on it is because, when you're chilling with your boys and you put a beat on, you start rapping, just full of shit. And so I don't know if I can swear, but yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. It's so good. Go ahead.
All right, cool. And I know I always felt like I had like a good sound, like as far as a rapper goes too. So I felt like, why not? You know, why not rap on it and see what happens?
Okay. So let me ask you. I want it all. When we come back after I want it all, would you mind doing a little acapella, or you just want to relax the voice for a while?
I got you.
All right. So after we're gonna get into I want it all, and after that, we're gonna come and definitely hear some of those vocal tunes. All right.
All right. Cool.
No doubt. Okay, Dons and Divas, this is another banger by C. Barroza. I want it all. This is GQ Palace. Love Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yo, C. Barroza,
come on. Listen to the rest of it, like listening to the testament. The way you fucking feel like a nigga really blessing it. I want it all like I'm down on South Beach, chilling with that cook for a beat.
Everything right.
Let's go.
Money is there. Chris.
Yo, yo.
Chris. Wow. Yo. You know what? Because the funny thing is, that's my first time hearing that one.
Oh, yeah? You didn't hear it yet?
Nah. I didn't hear it yet. I was like, all right, you know, boom. I heard like bits and pieces because I was on a rush date. But y'all killing it. Y'all killing it. Y'all definitely killing that. You know what I mean?
Appreciate that.
I actually have a... Huh?
No, I appreciate that.
No doubt, yo. Y'all definitely killing it. I have a caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Okay, you have Chris Barbosa on the line.
Hi, Mr. Barbosa. I just have a question for you. When I think I had heard you had mentioned that you have a couple people that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
What does your team consist of?
What does it consist of?
Yes.
It basically consists of just a whole, it's basically all artists. We're just, you know, we've been doing this for a while. And as far as, like, I have my own style, like, when I write. And the other two people that I write with have their own style. And since we was in a group back in the day, like, every time, like, I would do a certain thing, like, it would be hot. And then my boy would come in and do, like, a nice little transition to what I did. And then that's how we just always write together because our flow together is crazy. That's the way we feel.
But you're definitely talented. Definitely talented. Do you have, like, say, with the team that you have, do you think it's easier for you to be more independently signed versus signed by a major label? Meaning, does your team consist of, like, people that promote for you, or do you think that with the way the internet is set up nowadays, you can be pretty much your own promoter and your own manager? Do you feel like that's necessary for you because you're so talented and, you know, the equipment is so advanced nowadays?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, as far as the group goes, you can always use more promotion to get yourself out there. So I guess that's why record labels, you people are always good. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much how I feel about it.
Now, are you on Facebook or, like, Global 14 right now?
Yeah, I'm on Global 14. I'm on Facebook. And all those are, you can get me at global14.com/CBarbosa. And Facebook is facebook.com/CBarbosaLive.
Okay, now your tracks, are they for sale or are you just pretty much putting them up there and you can download them?
Yeah, they're all free. You can go to Reverb Nation and download it. You can... SoundCloud, I'm on SoundCloud as well, so if you do SoundCloud/CBarbosa, you can download the songs, or you can download my album, it's free as well, that's at cbarbosalive.blogspot.com.
Now, is it one of those things where you'll be able to, you know, right now it's free, but once you're signed, they won't be free, so it's kind of like get it now while it's free?
No, this first album is free. It's basically, it was just a mixtape, it's just for me to put out there just to see, you know, the response of people. So I'm not going to charge anybody for the album right now. I'm working on something new right now. I'm trying to drop in February. So the album that's on now is absolutely free, no charge.
Okay. Now, while you were doing the interview, I was pretty much just, like, writing just certain things down because I do like your style. You're definitely unique. But I just wanted to know, you know, like, where do we get to see you live perform?
Well, right now I'm in the Boston area. I mean, everything I do is really based up out of here. So for everybody in Boston, certain clubs like Under Bar, Rumors, venues, stuff like that. As far as going outside of New England, I'm currently working on that right now. And the mixtape that I'm working on now is hopefully going to make me go further out, like branch out into New York, into Connecticut, like hit the whole East Coast and even do the West Coast. That's my main goal right now.
I'm from New York, and we could definitely use some of your skills out here just to, you know, you could definitely, you know, sell out a show, you know, with the tracks that I've heard so far. So, you know, keep doing good and always put God first and everything else falls into place.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah. So now, what I want to do is I want you to hit some of those vocal tunes real fast for us, if that's all right. So then I want you to give out your information, you know, once again, you know, and everything, your shout-outs. But right now, I want them to know exactly how you is getting down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. I do a little a cappella. This is original. It's called Another Day. I do a little sample. It goes, in the beginning was the two of us. We were always hand in hand. Was like no other cause I carried your trust. In the palm of my hand, I didn't know that you were telling me lies. Right in front of me. Now I'm sorry cause I didn't realize that this love wasn't meant to be. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to move on. So why don't you just fly away? Cause love's only a mile away. It's time to understand that I'm no longer your man. So why don't you just fly away? Hope to find love on another day. And yeah, that's basically how that goes.
Wow. Wow. Yo, would you ever in like a church choir?
Nah, never.
No, because your voice is like, you know, it was like, you know, when you sing it, I'm like, because when a person sings, you know, whether it's a male or female, somebody get like chills, they like, that means the song is like really getting to them. It's like hitting a soul in them.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
and as
yeah,
you were singing, that's what it was doing. It was like hitting a soul in me. I'm like, oh. And the way you're hitting your high notes and everything. Let me ask you, did you ever like take music classes or anything? No?
Yeah, actually, I did. When I was in the group, that's when I took vocal lessons, kind of. I took that hard, but I want to actually develop my voice even more. Like, I feel like I can be a lot better than what I am now. I feel like, I don't even feel like I'm at a peak. I feel like I'm like 40%. I feel like I can grow so much. So I'm always learned, like, trying to just get better in my craft, like, just to, like, perfect it.
Yo, you definitely doing it. Ain't no question about it. And we definitely going to do what we can do to push you out there further. You understand what I mean? So that's what we about. But what I want you to do, I want you to, like, give the audience and all them all your information one more time for me.
All right, so you can hit me on Reverb Nation. So reverbnation.com/CBarboza. Everybody who got Twitter, please follow me. I will respond back. So twitter.com/@CBarbosaLive, facebook.com/CBarbosaLive, and YouTube. Definitely check me out on YouTube. I'm going to start putting out a whole bunch of videos as far as the way I'm creating my project and just take you through what I'm doing in my life. So that's youtube.com/CBarbosa24, and that's soundcloud.com/CBarbosa. And that's pretty much everywhere you can reach me. And my blogspot, which is cbarbosalive.blogspot.com.
Well, Chris, I really want to thank you again. You got any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, I actually want to shout out Leo and Danzy, ACJ, Beats on Fire, ZZ Productions, Storytellers. These dudes from London, nice producers. My team, Final Frame Music. Another extension of this family, BFMI, 80s Baby Entertainment. Shout out to my family, Delcus, Betsy, everybody. And everybody basically.
Wow. Well, that's crazy. Chris, I am definitely going to keep in contact with you. You understand? Because that's how GQ Palace do things. I'm pretty sure we're going to be getting some information on you and your lyrics and your music and everything. And I'm definitely going to keep in touch with you. And I really want to thank you for taking your time out to join us tonight.
I want to thank you for having me on the show, man.
All right, no doubt. It's all love and entertainment.
Hey, y'all have a good one. Merry Christmas.
All right. Same to you, Chris. All right, Dons and Divas.
we're going to cut this show short tonight because of Christmas. Unfortunately, Shannon Shatterstar Branch had an emergency, and we will be getting in contact with y'all and letting y'all know what's going on with him. But that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank Tanya Graham with the GQ General Question. I want to thank C. Barboza. Look out for him coming on the music scene. He's coming at y'all hard. Ain't no question about it. I want to thank the listeners and the callers, and most of all, the man up above, because without him, none of this would be possible. The whole GQ Palace radio station, the family, and myself, we want to wish y'all all a safe and blessed Merry Christmas. This is Rich Money. Have a blessed weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next weekend. This is from GQ Palace, Love Entertainment, where dreams come true. It's butter, baby.
What happened? I sit around by the fireplace, watching the gleaming tree. If I had one wish in this world,
choose and run for some girly head out that to do and